Years ago, I had a, we used to, at the previous place that I went to church, we used to, every other year, we bring in this evangelist guy. I don't know what the right title is, but, and Mike has heard him. His name is Paul Schwenke. He has a delivery like no one else. And the first time, Mike told me the story that he heard Paul Schwenke preach that, he was toward the back. And Paul got into his cadence. And if you're not ready for it,
no.
It just comes. Can I try a little bit of it?
Yeah, go for it.
If you have your Bibles tonight, this afternoon, turn to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 6, the 6th chapter of Matthew in your Bibles. Praise the Lord, you're in the house of God tonight. Matthew, chapter 6. And he would run that thing.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're starting. Let me check here. I'm pretty sure. I think that's where we're going to start. Yeah, it's going to be Matthew 6. It's going to take a second to get there, but tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to tell you a story about my dog. We're going to go to a couple of verses. We're going to have one point, and we're going to go home. I was searching for a verse this morning, unfortunately, while you were preaching. You said something. I thought, oh, that's good. So I went looking for that verse, and Okay, I heard this all morning. And I went looking for that verse, and I found something even better. So I knew that was good. The book of Proverbs, there's a verse, Proverbs chapter 12, don't turn there. Proverbs chapter 12 says, the righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. I'm going to try to hold that back as much as I can. But the righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. And I know my dog probably is not a beast. A beast is usually a beast of burden, like a piece of cattle or a mule or a horse. But clearly the idea behind that verse is true. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, animals, stuff, just other life. And I was looking for that verse and I found something else this morning. You guys know that I had a dog named Tucker. And had to put him down a couple weeks ago. He was drinking a lot of water, had to go to the bathroom all the time, in and out, in and out, in and out. Something's wrong with this dog. Took him in. And they said, diagnosis number one, he's got this. Okay. So they take him back for more tests. Diagnosis number two, nope. And we're in a couple of times, and in the middle of all of this, he went from having Cushing's disease to Addison's disease, which are diseases of your adrenal gland, and it jacks up certain hormone production, and corticosteroid production, mineral corticoid, and how your body processes all sorts of things. Affects their mood, affects their appetite, affects their energy, affects all sorts of things. Okay. In the middle of all this, he gets a bum knee. And he's packing his leg around. I'm going, this is weird. And so we go to take him in for that on a Tuesday, I think it was. And we go to take him in for a Tuesday, and they run some blood work on him, and they go, ooh, he's in bad shape, guys. So earlier, we'd given him some doggy ibuprofen. He was fine. You know, he was getting around okay. We knew that he was doing something. He just didn't seem right. And so we take him in to get his knee fixed, and they run some blood work, and they go, hey, he is in bad shape. All this red stuff that you keep track of on that CBC, that central blood, whatever, they do a blood test, and all the reds, hematocrit, platelet function, all this is bad. took that to work, actually, showed it to a guy that works clinical pharmacy over at Legacy, and he looked at that lab sheet, and he says, Dan, he says, if that was a human, they'd be in ICU. So I knew he was toward the end, okay? So we learned that, like, on Tuesday. Let me get this right. Yeah, and they said, take him to this specialty place in Vancouver. So we go to the specialty place in Vancouver.
That's right.
3 or 4 house payments later, I didn't know. Sharon wouldn't tell me. And she's smart. She knows when we go to a restaurant, don't show down the menu. He can't enjoy his meal if he knows how much he's paying for it. Life is too expensive. I don't want to know. I'm glad there's money there for it. I just sometimes hate to see it go out, right?
Yeah.
So that was Tuesday. We took him in on Wednesday. They kept him over Wednesday night for Thursday. We get him Thursday afternoon. I think I got off early that day. I did. I said, I have to go home. I got to go get my dog. And so they said, we're not busy. You can go home early. So Thursday afternoon, I go and get my dog, and he comes out, and he's looking okay. He's got his little IV band where they shaved him around his leg, and he's doing okay. But now it's gone from Addison's and this to now he's probably got cancer, now he's got lymphoma, he probably had bone cancer. I mean, it's just all these diagnoses are coming at you and going, oh, my goodness. Okay. Whew. All right. And so we take him home on Thursday, and somewhere along the way, one of the providers there said, had you not brought us into him, he probably would have been gone in 2 days. And so you go, okay, this is really getting real. Right? You can talk about people's ailments and all this stuff, and I'll pray for you, brother, and great. But boy, when it's right there, it's real. Okay. So that's Thursday. Get him back Thursday. I got Friday off. And Thursday night, he wasn't in great, he never manifested like he was in really, really bad shape. He was just tired all the time. He would just stand there and do nothing. He's a lot like Jax, just excited. So this is Thursday. And I know it's close. It's all right. I'll get there. My coach has taught me a technique for this very moment, and it's great to have. You ever heard of square breathing? You know what that is? I'll teach you guys right now. Square breathing. Where you inhale slowly to the count of 4. You hold it slowly for the count of 4. You exhale at the same cadence to the count of 4. You hold it for the count of 4. And then you inhale again. And you only think about breathing. And because it's such an innate part of life, of what you do, when you do that and you're concentrating on your breathing, it's amazing how your mind gets wiped. It is very, very powerful. And actually used it yesterday. Got in the box. Wasn't it? I was just practicing on my own. Got in the box and my mind was racing. I'm at the range up above Amboy by myself, doing nothing but practicing one particular stage. And I get in the box by myself. Nobody's there. And I'm nervous. Is that stupid? Yes, that's stupid. One trip around the box and I was fine. So it's Thursday night. I realize he's in bad shape and I kneel down beside my dog. And I want to pray. What do you pray for? Not some generic hollow Thank you, Lord, for this day. I mean, we do this. We pray this way. We all pray in corporate prayer. This is common. I'm not making fun of you. I've done it. We kneel our head. Everybody go, Brother so-and-so, would you pray for us? Sure, we all stand, whatever. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. It just pops out like, have a nice day. We don't even mean it. We don't even know what we're saying. It just comes out. Right? We just say it. Thank you for this day. Guess what? I was thankful for that day. So I'm there with my dog. And Angel down beside him, and I'm hugging him. And I want to pray. And I don't know what to pray for. Do I pray for him to be healed? Do I pray for his comfort? What do you pray for? Honestly, what, I'm sitting there with my dog, and I don't even know how to pray. And Matthew chapter 6 comes in. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. This is what is oftentimes referred to as the Lord's Prayer. I don't like that title. I didn't give it that title. I'm not saying it's a wrong title. I just don't like it. Sometimes referred to as the model prayer. And if you... Well, that moves fast. Mike, there's a reason why I don't use my computer when I'm doing this. I'm going to go back to the notes right here. Yeah. Back up to verse 8, though. Read verse 8. It said, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." So he already knows what I need. Here's the question. What do I need about this dog? I don't know. So you go down a few verses. I'm not going to recite this because I don't want to be here all night. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. There's a pattern here on how we're supposed to pray. And why does he say, give us this day our daily bread? Why does he use the word day twice in that sentence? But in the moment, I needed something to pray about, and I said, give us this day our daily bread, and that hit me. And I said, Lord, can I have one more day? Just one. And he did. He gave me Friday. And man, was I glad of that. So at Friday. Well, You hate to ask a guy that you just borrowed $100 from to borrow $500, right? You just already asked him for $100. Maybe I should have asked for $500 to start with, but hey man, here, yeah, you can have $100. And, so I turned around and asked for $500. I says, Lord, can I have a weekend? And he gave me the weekend and I was grateful for the weekend. Comes around Monday. I've just asked for $600. I don't have it in me to ask for another 100. I don't. But I didn't know what to pray, right? In that moment, I didn't even know how to pray. I just said, give me a day. He gave me a day. Give me the weekend. He gave me the weekend. And here's Monday. Man, is it real. Life, that last week or so was just so real. And I realized, so I started thinking about this day. Why does he say, give us this day our daily bread? Why is day in there twice? And I got this idea of why does God refer to day over and over and over in Scripture? There's three or four definitions of the word day. There's a physical 24-hour period of time. I'm not going to go into the definitions of day. You can look it up. But there's a lot of different uses for the word day. Okay. And it made me think, and I started searching on this, and it led me to light, and then it led me to the sun. And I'm reading this, and I'm going, well, this is interesting, but I can't preach this. This doesn't work. But I'm going through all of that and I just realized dogs live in the moment. They live right now. They don't live 5 minutes ago. I'm not sure they know what's coming in general. Yeah, they learn patterns of people in life, but they don't know about the day after tomorrow. They don't even know about tomorrow. And you know what? We don't have tomorrow. We don't have yesterday. We can't re-eat the potluck. It's packed up. It's over. It's done. You can't have it. It's done. Yeah. That was 15 minutes ago. You don't get that. You don't even get day from God. You get now. This is all we get is now. Right now I'm sharing your now. We're now together in this collective now space. And I don't want to waste your now. I'm not going to sit here and drone on forever. But we don't even get tomorrow. I mean, yeah, tomorrow has been coming every day for 5, 6, 7, 8,000 years. It's been coming. Tomorrow always comes. But even the Bible kind of doesn't really allow us to have tomorrow. And I'll show you a couple of verses that mean that. What I will tell you is those past couple of weeks with my dog were so real. I want you to think about that's all we have is now. We plan for tomorrow. We can't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to go do this, and after work we're going to, I'm going to get this finished, and we're always thinking about what's coming next. And I think sometimes we just fail to realize we only get right now. And I mean, you were talking about John and Sean down at the waterfront. They played their now card, didn't they? How many times have you had that opportunity and you held back just for whatever reason, because of thought of contention or ambiguity or whatever, and you missed the now, right? Too busy staring at your hand. Too busy looking something up in your phone to show somebody else something that they don't want to see. Right? We forget the now. So that was Monday. So we get to Monday, and I have to work on Monday, noon to eight. It's not going well at my house. And because we know, by the way, it's a lot easier to hold on and 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 hold on to the last moments of death, just so you know. It's easier to say, oh, and just hope and wish and wait and want and grasp for every last second. It's much harder to say, I think it's time. It's much harder to do that. So it's Monday. And Sharon's home alone with the dog. She cleared her day. And I didn't have it in me to ask God for another $100 because I didn't even know how to pray. What do you pray for? Pray him to heal your dog? Yeah, he can. Am I out of line asking for something that it was so confusing to me in the moment. How do you pray for something as simple as that? And not some just generic God take care of it prayer, but how do you specifically pray for that? And I'm saying that not because you do it. No. Just it was an introspection on, I don't even know what to do here. Right. Okay. But those 3 or 4 days got me to the point where I said, okay. I'm okay with it now. Monday's rough. Yeah. We have a rule at my house. You don't call Dan at work if you got bad news. Dan doesn't want to know it. Dan's going to be home tonight. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life and how horrible it is. Don't call me at work. Don't. If my mom dies, don't call me. My mom's already dead. By the way, my mom is already dead, so I can say that. But she's dead. Don't call me. She will still be dead when I get off work. And I'm trying to be trite here. You're having this and this and this happen. Solve it. If you need me to leave now and come help for whatever reason, that's great. Sharon called me one time. Dan, there's water pouring out of the side of our house. Okay, I'm on my way. I can come fix that, right? Yeah. But don't call me and tell me bad news that's going to mess me up the rest of the day. Because I'm going to finish working. There's more. I'm going to finish working, and it's still going to be bad when I get home. So don't call me, because now I've got junk floating around in my head, and what I'm doing is kind of important. So is what you do is kind of important. But if my kind of important goes wrong, it gets really, really bad for somebody, right? And so I don't have the liberty to make a mistake at work. Okay, so it's Monday and the phone isn't ringing. That could mean two things. Nothing happened, or something happened. And stupid people manifested themselves on that Monday like it was nobody's business. Usually I get out at 8. I didn't leave work till 9:20. There's a reason I don't take guns to work. I'd have been using them that day. I was so mad. You're taking time away from my dog. I was mad. But fortunately, I won't get into the granular details. When I got home that night, I was met by my dog. I have the same thing for lunch every day at work. Some of you guys know this. Every day it's the same. It's been that way for 5 or 6 years. I take the same thing to lunch every day. You might think it's boring, but I don't. Every day for lunch, I have leftovers from the night before. Every day I have leftovers from the night before. And the night before was some greasy chicken thing that was fabulous, and I come home. So this is Monday. I come home late. I'm met at the door by my dog and my wife, and Tucker gets his bowl. It was fab. And I was so grateful to have him. On the last day, he wouldn't even eat chicken. My dog will eat the Tootsie Rolls out of the cat box, would not eat chicken. And I don't have a cat box. He'll go to somebody else's house and find that. And so Monday night, Sunday night was so bad that we decided to haul the bed downstairs. So we slept downstairs with a dog. And I was just couldn't believe how in touch I got with the reality those past few days. Life was so real. There was no fake. And we live in a fake world where everything on your phone is fake, where your conversations are fake, where your relationships are fake, where we get excited about the Bengals winning, or we get excited about this, or we feel sad because your team lost. That's so fake. It's not even imaginably fake. But those relationships that you can build with God or yourself or your friends or your family, those are so real. And I know it's a stupid pile of dog hair. I know that. That dog right there is a stupid pile of dog hair. And I love that dog. All right? There's something real about that. And I got to experience life from a very real standpoint. I'm re-experiencing it right now. And I don't like this, but it's real. And we only get now. We only get now. We don't. And so here comes Tuesday. And I think I'm done with that story. But Tuesday came. And took him to McDonald's. And on the days that I compete, that's the day I go to McDonald's. I once or twice a month I compete. Get up early on Saturday morning, drive somewhere, shoot, and come home. And on the way, my cheat is to go to McDonald's and get 2 sausage McMuffins, large coffee, 6 cream, 2 sugar, every time. I always fill out the receipt. I always tell the folks at McDonald's that they got it wrong or right. And when you fill out the receipt, you get to use a receipt next time for coupon to get a sandwich for free. So I only pay for 1 sausage McMuffin, but I get 2. And for the longest time, I've been low carb. I pretty much stay there as much as I can. So you get 1 sausage McMuffin here and 1 sausage McMuffin here. You have 2. I take the lid off of this one, out the window for the birds. I take the lid off of this one, and I put it in the bag for my dog, Tucker. And I make myself a double sausage McMuffin, and that's what I have. Half the carbs. Cool. This day, I didn't do that. I bought two. That day, I took him in the restaurant. I said, this is it, buddy. You get to come inside today. So we get out to the car, and I have two. And I'm eating one, and he's eating one. And we take the drive home, and he's out the window, and life is fab for another 10 minutes. And we get home, and he lays down, and boy, he's just not looking good. Pet him, and he'd normally just roll into it. Now he's not doing it. It's time. But I took every opportunity for now. I took that day. Give us this day our daily fill in the blank. You only get that day. You only get now. And I'm sorry to be crying like a baby up here, but you really only get now. And that's the truth. It's just real. And as horrifying and as just gut-wrenching as this is, it's so real. It just changes the way I look and talk and act around people now. And I really don't care about a lot of menial stuff. All the garbage in life really, really gets small. And when you get down to the end, I'm thinking, this is the last time we're ever going to do this with the dog. This is the last few moments I get with him. What would you do? When now gets really short, what would you do? And it made me think, what would you do in those moments? I know Anthony Robbins, the motivational speaker, he talks about the power of a minute, what you can get done in a minute. And I thought, why do we just let minutes and hours and days just float by and we don't use them? And I'm guilty. We're all guilty of it, right? And I want to finish up on two verses, and then we're done. If you go to Matthew chapter 6, let's read this. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start with that one. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. And after this manner, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. And I want to say something about verse 10. There's a part of me that wants to think that this is the concept of prayer we should always have. It isn't about us. It isn't about what we need. Yet in verse 8 it says you can pray for your needs, but in verse 10 it said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, it's really about praying your way into the will of God and not praying God into what you want him to do. And that's why I struggled that night on praying for my dog. I didn't even know how to pray. I knew this was the end, but could have God changed the end? Yeah, of course he can. Do I even have the authority to ask God to do something for my dog? It was just this strange place. But I settled on the fact, I'll take one more. Give me one more day. And he gave me one more day. It turned into a weekend, and it turned into something great. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. Verse 17, be thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So it's interesting how prayer works. Verse 19, and this is kind of where we get down to the end of the chapter, and you'll see what this means. And where we go with the rest of this till the end of the chapter, it's the idea of we only get now. You only get right now. And it said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust do corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That makes sense. The light of the body is the eye, and therefore thine eye should be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either will hate one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And this is this idea of when you serve, you only get to serve right now. So you have a choice in the moment of how you're going to serve. And here we go. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or drink, nor yet for your body, what shall ye put on it? Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Isn't your life more than just eating food and wearing clothes? And think about your life. How much of your time do you spend thinking about eating and wearing clothes? How long do you prepare to go somewhere, gals? Put this on, take it off, put it on, take it off. Guys, this tie right? How many times you retie your tie? Tie your tie right, okay? But if it's really, really close, don't try to make it better. It's good enough, right? Nobody cares, right? But I mean, he's really breaking it down to some of the simplest stuff. Your life is more than eating food and wearing clothes. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? He's really drilling down on you. Really don't have... You don't have a lot of say in this. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. Just like he knows what you're going to need in your prayer. He knows you need food and drink and clothes. He knows that. So in that moment, stop with all of this frivolity. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And verse 34. Take there no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. You can hope and plan and want for tomorrow. But tomorrow is own deal. It takes thought of itself. We only get now. I'm glad I had that now with my dog. And it showed me how important now is. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 27. This is the verse that I found this morning when I was looking for another one. And I'm going to finish right here. Proverbs, which is just great all the way through. I think the point I want to make is, like a dog, we need to really spend a little more time in the moment and not think about the trip home. What we're going to do this afternoon. Hey, I get it. We plan our lives. We have things to do. It makes sense to do that. I know it says, give us this day our daily bread, but that doesn't mean you go to the store and buy today's food and tomorrow go to the store and buy tomorrow's. Tomorrow will be today. And you know, I get that. Conceptually understand that we're to rely on God. We're to be present all the time. Life can be very, very real if you will let it be there. If you don't fill it up with all the garbage that we fill our life up with, right? We can't reheat the food. We can't breathe yesterday. I started this 25 minutes ago. That's done. And now the Bible says, take no thought for tomorrow. Look at Proverbs chapter 27 in the first verse. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Even if you get tomorrow, Tomorrow is of itself. How many times have we made plans for tomorrow and we woke up and it's not even close? I just want to bring home this point tonight or this afternoon. Just spend a little more time in the moment. Foster those relationships just a little more. Listen a little harder to the people you're around. Take advantage of the good things that happen in the moment. And don't just pass them by. It's real. And I just want you to realize that it's now. We get right now. Just make that now part as good as you can. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for these past moments. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the blessings you have given me. Help us to engage each other in real engagement and take advantage of the moments we have together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.